We continue with our podcast series with Investec Asset Management about living annuities. In previous discussions, we have already covered the importance of managing your drawdown strategy, the need for exposure to growth assets, and understanding how market volatility affects annuities. Over the past few years, and specifically this year, we have seen significant volatility in local and international markets, and today we will focus on how to practically manage this volatility. On the line is Clyde Rousseau. He is the manager of the Investec Opportunity Fund, a high equity multi-asset fund. Clyde, welcome to the show. Let's start with that question. How do you practically manage volatility?
Yeah, thanks, Frank, and good day to everybody. Look, volatility has two sides to it. The positive side of volatility is obviously the fact that you own assets that have the ability to grow in real terms, which is incredibly important in terms of managing wealth over an extended period of time. So that's the positive side. The negative side is that share prices don't always go up, or financial assets don't behave in a systematic fashion, and there are periods in which they can behave in an adverse manner. So what we try and do in terms of our fund strategy is to try and utilize all the different opportunities that are available to us through the various asset classes and instruments that are available, and try and deliver something which produces the real returns, and then try and avoid, you know, the obvious areas of capital loss, which is the downside volatility, which ultimately destroys and undermines your wealth creation. And now that might sound simple or simplistic in terms of its goal, but in reality, what that does mean is that you have to be quite selective in terms of how you position the portfolio, and you have to make sure that you have a very clear perspective in terms of where the risks lie in markets at all particular points of time.
But say I am a pensioner, I am 75, I draw down a modest 5%, and I am looking at the current market environment where the JSE is not performing well, I see my capital reduce in value, what should I do?
Yeah, so again, I mean, if someone is 75 years old, they probably wouldn't have all of their portfolio invested in the All Share Index or a tracker fund of that description. They presumably would have a multi-asset portfolio where the equity weighting is substantially less than 100%. And obviously, in terms of the way in which we run the Investec Opportunity Fund, is we do have a considerable portion of non-equities, in particular non-South African equities. And the reason why we have this portfolio mix is that ultimately our performance outcomes should be very different to any single particular financial asset class that a South African can access. And as a result of those exposures, because we have, you know, 23% invested in bonds, we have 10% in cash, we have 30% in global equities, our specific exposure to difficult circumstances in local equity markets is vastly controlled, and therefore should be much less of a concern to an investor who has a portfolio which is structured on that basis.
But of course, as you've alluded to earlier, asset allocation is critical. Are you adjusting your investment approach within the current environment where equities are under immense pressure?
So at the beginning of this year, when we had a bout of enthusiasm in the markets post the successful transition of the ANC election in December, caused a little bit of a rally in local stock markets, and obviously in terms of the strength of the currency in January, February, we took that as an opportunity to reduce our exposures to a lot of local equities, not because we were necessarily disbelieving in terms of the transition, but because we fundamentally are a little bit concerned about the near-term growth outlook for South Africa. And clearly, domestically focused stocks are going to struggle if there's no earnings growth that can be delivered from them. And in simple terms, we felt that many shares were actually too expensive. So we reduced our local equity weighting by about 5 percentage points earlier this year. And as a result of that, plus a strong exposure to offshore assets, the weakening of the currency we've seen, and ongoing growth we've been able to access outside of SA, it's actually meant that our portfolios haven't done too badly this year, and certainly our return trajectory is, as I said, it's very different to to the negative returns that the JSE has offered local investors so far this year.
Does volatility equal increased risk?
Look, there are two risks. Capital volatility in the short term, if it's just producing up and downward movements, but over time the value of that capital is growing, is sort of to be expected. But if you're involved in owning assets where the price is wrong, the growth is not there, volatility is often a euphemism for capital loss. You know, people don't say the markets are terrible, they say they're volatile. But we know that if markets go down, people lose money. So the best thing that we can do when we run multi-asset funds or any funds we run is to minimize that drawdown, because we also know that investors tend to panic at the wrong stage of the investment cycle. So when markets are great, everyone wants to invest, and when markets are down, everyone wants to disinvest. And that often amplifies or extends the magnitude of the different cycles we have. So if we do the right thing in terms of having the correct exposures and minimizing the drawdowns in our portfolios, hopefully it will help our investors to make the correct decisions in terms of not having knee-jerk reactions with regards to what they do with their own money that's invested in our funds. And therefore, we can help along the way of ensuring that we can grow that capital in real terms over time. So that's really our fiduciary responsibility when you run multi-asset portfolios.
So what is the biggest mistake an investor can make right now?
The first and obvious question that has to be asked is, am I in the right strategy? Do I have the right exposure to the right opportunities that matches my risk profile? And we spoke earlier about the hypothetical 75-year-old that if they were 100% invested in equities, it's probably fair to assume that there's a mismatch between the risk appetite and the actual portfolio. And I would always say that the first question we have to ask ourselves is make sure that we're in the right strategies with the correct risk profile that matches our either life stage or our risk appetite. That's the first important thing. If we get that right, then everything else is less coincidental. So in simple terms, if we have a long-term time horizon, you know, we can rise through volatility and ultimately we won't selling at the bottom. If we have a shorter-term time horizon, we'll obviously get more anxious about how much capital we're going to lose, because we might be drawing down on that capital to pay ourselves income in the form of a living annuity of some sort. So risk profile is absolutely important. And secondly, having a portfolio invested in something which does not have those single focused areas of concern or risk where they're fully exposed to one or two trends, such as what we are seeing currently on the JSE, where the trend in terms of SA stocks is not a positive one. You don't want 100% of your exposure aligned to that, because then you ultimately will end up having to make some really tough decisions at potentially the wrong time.
But intuitively, some investors may think, let's just ride out the volatility, move to fixed income products. Is that a mistake, or how should investors look then at fixed income as an alternative to mitigate the risks of volatility?
Look, certainly we would see fixed income as playing an incredibly important role in running a multi-asset portfolio for an investor that ultimately wants to get paid out in rand and is reliant on rand as a source of capital or income for himself. And what's particularly interesting about the South African fixed income markets at the moment is that cash provides one with a positive return, in other words, ahead of inflation, and long bonds actually provide one with a real yield, so in simple terms, a yield which is more than an inflation rate of around about 4%. Now, that's quite an attractive opportunity if you're looking to at least preserve your capital. So you can take quite a lot of inflation risk before you lose capital on the bond market. And for that reason, we have a relatively large exposure to both cash and bonds. And as I said, that's more than a third of our portfolio holdings in the opportunity fund, where that will provide us with both capital preservation and a pretty reasonable yield. And more importantly, is a massive hurdle rate for other opportunities to jump over in terms of being able to compete. So when you look at other equities in South Africa, until such time as we're convinced that they'll provide us with a better return than a near 10% on government bonds, it doesn't make sense for us to risk the capital on those holdings. And there still many examples in the local market where we think that shares could reprice down further before we get to the point at which you can get excited about forward-looking returns that would provide you with 10% plus an additional margin of safety for taking equity risk. So we'll look for those opportunities, but in the meantime, we're very happy to have a chunk of money invested in cash and bonds.
Well, the local market at least is down, say, around 9 to 10% following the current performance, especially over the last few weeks. Well, you earlier said don't react at the wrong time. Is it now the wrong time to start maybe moving money offshore?
Yeah, look, I mean, the decision to move money offshore should be based on a medium-term time frame. And our view on that front, for the last 2 years, we've had the view that we can find better offshore opportunities than what we can find locally. And that was our view a year ago. It was our view 6 months ago, and it still is our view. The only thing that has moderated somewhat around that is the fact that we think the degree to which foreign assets will outperform local assets has diminished. But there still is a high probability that offshore assets will outperform onshore assets, particularly with regards to equities. The currency is ultimately an important decision in that process, but it's not the only decision that one has to make around offshore. For what it's worth, we do think that the South African rand is probably marginally on the cheaper side of fair value. We think fair value is somewhere between 14.25 and 14.50 to the dollar. So, you know, when we're near to 15, it doesn't obviously suggest to us that you're going to make a lot of money out of taking money offshore. But more important than that is the fact that we can construct portfolios where we have a high degree of confidence that the companies we own will be able to grow at high single digits or even low double digits in terms of their earnings going forward, which is not something which is in abundant supply on the local equity market. And for that reason, when you put those two decisions together, we still think that that's a serious consideration for someone who takes more than a 3 to 6 week view on markets and is prepared to take a 3 year view, because that ultimately, we think, will be more constructive to monetizing the potential extra return you'll get from foreign assets.
Returning to the discussion about living annuities, what would your advice be to pensioners who draw from living annuities and which are invested in your fund? What would your general advice be how they should behave right now?
Well, the interesting thing for us is if we look at the work that we've done, I mean, clearly any additional outperformance that can come from one fund versus another is very constructive to building up an increased capital sum over long periods of time. But the piece that is probably less understood by most people is the role that volatility plays in terms of improving that ultimate position that an investor is in terms of improving his return and his ability to draw down on his capital over time. And we think that those are both considerations. So better returns than peers and obviously low volatility are the two best ways in which you construct your portfolio to assist you around building a bigger capital sum and being able to take more capital in the form of withdrawals over time. So our advice too would be to make sure that the investors are actually in funds which have reasonably decent real returns, hopefully better than peers, and importantly also take the consideration around volatility, you know, into consideration when they construct their portfolios. And obviously all that information and data is available to people out there. I do think that at least in the case of investing opportunity, we do have some credentials which support that thesis.
Yeah. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Clyde. That was Clyde Rousseau. He's the manager of the Investec Opportunity Fund.